Why do you think that some people feel a need to be popular? Now, I know that, you could probably think of those folks, whether it was a time when you were growing up or even now. There are some people that just have that, overwhelming need to feel popular with other people. Now, as you consider that, I'm sure there's probably a name or a face that came to your mind. Let me ask you this personally. How important is this to you? Listen, grab your Bible. We're going to be looking at passages out of Joshua chapter 24 in just a moment. And we're going to look at choose whom you will serve. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome back to our, Bible study of Central Baptist Church. We're glad that you're joining us this evening. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of the book of Joshua, Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 24. And I began our, Bible study tonight by asking you a question. The question I asked was, why is it that you think that some people feel this overwhelming need, not necessarily a desire for a lot of folks. Some people it's a desire, but for some people it's a need to feel popular. They go out of their way, they do all these different things so that they will be popular with, people that A, they're either trying to impress, or if it's somebody who has that overwhelming need to feel popular, then it's anybody. They do whatever they can, whether it's in line or out of line, to be popular with those people. Now, I ask you the question, how important is that to you? I want us to consider that for just a moment as we look at our passages today. They're going to come out of Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading at verse 14. Joshua chapter 24, beginning with verse 14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Verse 16, "So the people answered and said, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and, preserved us in all the ways we went and among the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God.' But Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good.'" Verse 21, "And the people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.' So Joshua said to the people, 'You are witness against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him.' And they said, 'We are witnesses.' Now, therefore, he said, 'Put away the foreign gods, which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel.' And the people said to Joshua, 'The Lord, our God, we serve, and his voice we will obey.'" So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words on the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, We're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that that you give us to once again gather together and share your word. Lord, I pray that today we will take a really good hard look at ourselves as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us along the way. Lord, I pray that we will truly make sure that the only person that we really feel like we need to impress or be popular with, so to say, is you. Father, help us to take these words to heart that we read, and as for me and my house, we will truly serve the Lord. So, Lord, I ask that you would bless me as your speaker for these moments. Lord, as we lift you up, draw all men unto you. And Lord, we pray as always, if there's one who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would give their life to you, that they would be free from the burden of sin, and that we might celebrate together. Lord, bless our time as only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in our story today, Joshua gave his final challenge to the Israelites. And one of the things that was very, very interesting, and I want to point this out to you as you're looking at your Bible in verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read those two verses to you again, but I want you to listen to how many times you hear the word serve or served. One of those two, serve or served, in just verses 14 and 15. Listen with me. Verse 14 says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose house you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Seven times in those two verses, we hear either the word serve or serve. And as you consider that, I want you to think about for a minute, why do you think that he puts such a great emphasis on serving the Lord? Now, one of the things I always try to make very, very clear as we look at God's word and as we look at the Bible, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Bible also tells us that faith without works is dead. So I'm going on record, going on video, whatever you want to call it right now, to tell you that your works do not save you. However, your works do show the depth of that relationship that you have with the Father. Because we love the Father, because we are saved, then we should want to serve him. Now, you know, when you consider that, he's talking about how are they serving him. He's putting a great emphasis on that, because when you fall in love with the Lord, that is something that you should have a desire in your heart to do. When you look at it and consider it, if you are serving the Lord, then it's hard to get distracted by so many other things. How many things in life are we distracted by? How many things in life are we actually making a God? Now, that sounds like some pretty hard commentary when you think about it that way. And you might say, well, I'm not making, you know, gods. I don't have like little rooms that I go into and statues that I pray to or look at. But you got to remember it this way. Anything that you put before God Almighty, you make a God. That can be your job. That can be your bank account. That can be your possessions, the things you have, anything. So when you consider that, you know, those are things that can draw us away from the Father. It can draw us away from serving him. Now, folks, I want to, as I often will say, I want to get a little pastoral for just a minute. Let me ask you this question. If you are a born-again believer, if I were to ask that question this way and say, hey, are you a born-again believer? Have you trusted Christ? Are you saved? And you tell me yes, then I'm going to ask you this question. What are you doing to serve him? What are the things that you are doing in your life? What are the things that you are doing in your church to serve him? You know, as you draw close to him, he's called you to be part of the armies of the living God. He's called us to be the Christian soldiers, to go forward and to proclaim his name. He's given us each different talents and abilities. What are we using in service for him? Think about the emphasis that he put on serving in that verses 14 and 15. You know, do you consider yourself a servant of the Lord? Now, that sounds like a pretty straightforward question. Do you consider yourself a servant of the Lord? Some of you out there probably said, oh, yes, yeah, I consider myself a servant of the Lord. Then my question is going to be, why? Why do you consider yourself a servant of the Lord? What are the things that God's talented you and gifted you and given you the ability to do that you are using for His honor and His glory? What ways are you serving Him? Some of you may sit back and say, well, you know, I serve because I teach a Sunday school class. I serve as a deacon. You know, I serve in various locations in my church. I serve on a fellowship team. I serve in a greeting team. If that's what God's given you the gift and the ability for, that's great. But you've got to make sure that you're using it for His honor, for His glory. It's not about who you are. It's not about being using these things for your purpose. So I ask, you know, do you consider yourself a servant? Can you answer the question as to why you would say, I do? Or even why you would say, I don't consider myself to be a servant. You know, if I ask the question over again, do you consider yourself a servant of the Lord? Why or why not? Because those are the telltale signs. What is it that makes you believe that you either are or you are not a servant of the Lord? Now, there was a major choice that Joshua places before Israel in verse 15. Let's look at what that is. You know, yeah, again, he's sitting there saying, you know, you've got a choice. I am telling you that in this day and age, you also have this same choice that you will make. Let's look at first part of verse 15. It says this, and it says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. That, my friend, is the challenge. That is exactly what Joshua was putting before the people, and that is exactly what I am putting before you today. There is no middle of the road with God. There is no fence that you can walk. You are either for Him or you are against Him. My challenge for you today that comes straight out of the book of Joshua, it is the same challenge that Joshua gave to the people of Israel. I am giving it to you today, and this is what it is. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to trust Him? Is He going to be your God? Or are you going to say, I'm going to do life my way. I'm going to chase whatever dreams I want to. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I may die. Whatever it is that you say or think, that is the choice before you. That's what Joshua told Israel. That is what I am telling you today. Choose for yourself. Verse 15, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Are you going to follow false gods? Or are you going to follow the one and only God Almighty? You know what? It is time. I've said and used this term before. It's time to cut bait or fish. You know, there's so many people who think, well, I'm just going to walk the middle of the road and I'll just fall over onto whatever side is most convenient at the time. Folks, God doesn't play that game. You know, what is it that you are going to do in regard to the challenge that has been placed before you today? God says this, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either serving me or you're not. So when we ask that question in that manner, and as the Holy Spirit brings it to your life, where do you stand with the Father? Yeah. Have you chosen Him in 2022? Does your life reflect that? Do your friends reflect that? Does your service reflect that? You know, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, this should, you know, be an easy choice for Israel to make. Yeah. And as I say that, why would you say that would be an easy choice for Israel to make? You know, we're looking at this thing from the biblical perspective. We're looking at the story. We've been reading it as we've come up to it. But since the time that Israel left Egypt, God had been with them. They had watched the miracles that God had performed in their presence. God had led them by the pillar of cloud during the day, the pillar of fire at night. God fed them when they were in the wilderness, you know, with the manna. Every step of the way, God has taken care of him. And if I were to ask you that question, you would probably say to me, oh, yes, God's taken care of me. He's looked after me. along the way. So you know what? When posed with the question, choose you this day whom you will serve, that should be very, very easy to answer. It's easy to answer when you consider the fact of what God has done in your life. Consider the provision that He has made for you. Consider the miracles that He's done that you have seen. It shouldn't be hard to sit back and go, I got to make a choice now. Am I going to serve God or am I going to, you know, go the other way? And when we look at it from that perspective, we would sit back and go, oh yes, I'm going to serve God today. Well, where the rubber meets the road is the actions that follow the choice that you make. There's a lot of people who start off really good. Let me ask you this, how are you going to finish? Okay, this should have been very easy for Israel to answer in regard to this question. It should be very easy for you and I to answer in this day and age. Now, regardless of what others did, Joshua says something bold about a choice that he makes. This comes out of verse 15 as well. So I want to go back to the latter part of verse 15. Let's just take the whole verse. It says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But here it is. This is the challenge. End of verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a bold statement. That's a big statement. And it's a personal statement. It's a personal choice. So I'm asking you, what is your decision? Is it a decision that you are going to make boldly, regardless of what others were going to do? Joshua said, you can go whichever way you want. If you want to serve the other gods, go ahead and do that. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, can you make that statement as well? Folks, by the way, that is an easy statement to make when you're standing in the middle of a church. That is an easy statement to make when you are standing in the middle of other Christian brothers and sisters. This is a harder question for most people to answer when they are standing in the world that is opposed to God and that is opposed to them. The worldly things that are trying to pull us away from God. Listen, are you taking that stand? When those things come up, are you going to sit back and say, look, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? This is an ungodly thing that you're asking me to do or to partake in or to be a part of. And I don't want to do it. Don't make some sort of an excuse as to the reason you can't. Are we standing up and saying, because of my walk with God, because of my faith in God, because of what God's word tells me, I choose not to participate in that sinful act? Now, what we generally do is we will make some sort of an excuse. Well, I can't do that because I'm allergic to it, or I can't do that because of this, or I can't do it because of whatever. And we will throw something out there. We don't want to do it, but the conviction of our heart says we're not to do that because it's displeasing to God. But our excuse to others isn't the fact that we are serving the Lord. That was what Joshua said boldly in their presence. He said, you need to choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and as for my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care which way you go. I don't care the things that you do. If you decide you want to go serve, other gods, you go ahead and do that. But as for me, I will serve the Lord. As for my household, I will serve the Lord. How would you answer that question today? Do your convictions match what you say? And I'm not talking about just using it as some flimsy excuse to get out of doing something. I'm talking about drawing that line in the sand, because Joshua made no bones about it. He says, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And that was because of his conviction of who God was and what God had done in his life. I pray that you can answer that question the same way, not simply because it's a good thing to say or a good thing to do, but because you have seen what God has done in your life. And the conviction of your life is that you are going to follow the one and only true God, that you might say, as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. We're going to follow him. We're not going to be caught up in the idolatry that is surrounding this country, the idolatry that is surrounding not only our nation, but our whole world. As for me and my house, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to serve the Lord. Now, in a world full of adultery, why is it vital for our decision to serve the Lord to be a settled issue? It's not something that we flounder on. You know, you're gonna come across idolatry every day. You're gonna come across a world that does not like the Lord. You're gonna come across the satanic activities that are gonna try to keep you from being everything that God wants you to be. So you need to have the issue settled in your heart and life, that as you walk away from this broadcast, as you walk back into the workplace, as you walk back into your home, that you have said, I use the term, draw the line in the sand, where you can say, my decision has been made. As for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Because let me make you a promise, that is going to be challenged in some cases on a daily basis. No matter where you go, what you say, what you do, there's going to be a challenge to that issue. Yeah. How are you going to stand? Are you going to stand firm? Is it already settled? If you don't already have that issue settled, when we finish our time today, then you're very apt to be tossed, as the Bible says, to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You're liable to walk away, and you might come back as the Lord has convicted your heart of some wrongdoing. You may come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Why is it I do the things that I shouldn't do, and I don't do the things that I should? Listen, settle it right now. Make your decision. Draw your line in the sand, that in your life and in the life of those you love and your family, that you can say, just like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay? Now, in what ways does this choice mean that we might have to go against the crowd and make the unpopular decisions? You know, as often as I think about Joshua, particularly as we've had this time to be, reading about his life and seeing the aspects of it, I think about what it must have been like for both Joshua and Caleb when they were the only two of the 12 spies that came back and said, you know, we're well able to do this because God told us we could. They were in a minority when they stood there. They stood together, but they also stood in a minority. 2 against 10, the odds were completely against them. But yet, they maintained, based on their heart, based on the beliefs, based on the proof of who God was, they had decided that in their life. The world is going to put you in positions where you're going to have to make decisions. And let me make you a promise. There are very often those decisions that you're going to have to be that you're going to have to make, or that are going to need to be made, are going to go against what the world is saying to you. It is going to be against the popular decision of the day and the age. Okay, listen, if you are not standing, and if you don't already have it settled in your mind, you will make the wrong decision every time. If you've decided in your heart that I am going to serve the Lord, then that means that you're going to get into His Word. You're going to find out what it says. You're going to listen to the Holy Spirit in your life as He leads you and guides you and teaches you. And when you come up against the choice to either follow the Lord or follow the world, the Holy Spirit's going to be tugging and pulling you in the direction of making the godly decisions and doing the godly things. Okay? So I just want to make you a promise. It's not if these times come, it's when these times come. What decision are you going to make? Settle that in your heart and mind right now. Go ahead and make the plan to say, when these things come up, this is the direction I'm going to go, because this is the godly direction. Okay? Now, Joshua also said that there were some others that were included in his choice in verse 15. Remember what he said. He said, as for me, that's personal, and my house. That was inclusive of his family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I've said, as we go through our Bible study and our time, one of the things I've asked you to look for are examples to follow. Man, here's a great example to follow. You know, in just a few weeks, we're going to be leading leading into times where, you know, we have great opportunities to lead our families. You know, just think about the fact that Father's Day just got finished with Father's Day not long ago. Think about this. How is Joshua's leadership of his family an example for us to follow? You know, in other words, what he said was, he said, I am going to lead my families in the ways of the Lord. I am going to make sure that I not only lead them in the ways of the Lord, but I'm going to protect them against the ungodly influences that will try to come in. Man, what an example to follow in this day and age. Dads, are you doing that? Can you, like Joshua, not just say, as for me, but can you say, as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And I am going to do everything that I can to be the godly example. I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that they that the evil that is surrounding them, the evil that is trying to get in, is repressed to the best that I can as I follow the Lord. Man, what a great, great leadership example for us to follow. Okay. You know, when you think about this, think about in what ways might a family that serves the Lord have to go against popular culture? A family, as a family. A minute ago, I said you personally. Now I'm asking, what are some ways that your family might have to go against popular culture to stand for what the Lord is in our hearts and lives, and to stand for biblical Christianity as a whole? Most of us can sit there and we could just name things off just right off the top, you know. Places we shouldn't go, things we shouldn't do, things we shouldn't watch, things that we should not allow into our house. You know what? When the family works together to create that godly atmosphere, it turns out so much better, and it is so much easier. By the way, dads, I just want to say something here. I know we're past Father's Day, but I think what a great Father's Day example this is as well. Dads, you know, your families are looking for you to be the leader. I mean, that means there's going to be some times, there's going to be some tough decisions that are going to have to be made. There are going to be some tough things that are going to have to be said, and they're not going to be popular. Let's just say it that way. But when you make these decisions, you are doing, by the grace and the leadership of God, what He wants you to be able to represent that statement that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, can you do that? Consider that. As the Lord convicts your heart. Now, how did the Israelites respond to Joshua's challenge and respond to what it was that Joshua said? We find their answer in verses 16 through 18. It says, so the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways that we went and among all the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. So when you look at that and the description that he gave, I mean, they ran it all the way back to, you know, the departing Egypt, you know, how God, you know, got them out of Egypt. I love how it says in verse 16 that the response was, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. They were in the right mind at that time. And by the way, they were also among a godly influence at that time. Man, this is another sermon for another day, but let me just make you a promise. If you spend your time hanging out with godly people, then there's a better chance that you're going to make good godly decisions. If you're the only Christian in and among a large group of people, there's a good chance that they might influence you in a bad way. And we read about that through the Bible all the time. Folks, that's why we need each other. That's why we need to gather together as a church. Remember, church isn't the building. The church is the people of God. What is it that we're doing? Are we taking that time and taking advantage of the opportunities to be able to come together that we might grow and that we might be strengthened? Remember, the Word of God tells us iron sharpens iron. You know, it is easy to make a godly decision when you're in a group of godly people. It's oftentimes tougher when you're the only godly person in the crowd. Now, remember what it was that Israel said, verse 16, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Real easy to say there. But then they went on to express the reason why they believed that. They said, the Lord is our God. He's the one who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, freed us from slavery. He did great signs and wonders in our presence. We actually got to see this. It says that, that they go on and give God credit and saying that he preserved us in the way as we went and the people that we came in contact with. Remember, he fed them. He gave them water when it seemed like there was nothing else. He led them along the way. And this is their testimony right now that they're giving God the credit for all that. Down in verse 18 says, the Lord drove out from before us all the people. That's talking about the enemies, including the Amorites who dwelled in the land. We'll also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now, I love the answer. Remember what it was that Joshua said. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then in the latter part of verse 18, as part of their response to him, what did they say? We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. You know, in other words, I love that part of it. They're like, we're going to serve him too, because he's our God as well. Now, something interesting happens, excuse me, around verse 19. And I want you to think about it in just a second. It looks like there's some some doubt being expressed about their sincerity of what they just said in verses 19 and 20. So now I want us to look again how Joshua responded to their deal about, well, he's not just your God, he's our God as well. Look at verses 19 and 20. It says, but Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If, now remember here, this is one of those if then things again. Verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. Think about that for just a moment. Boy, that's some powerful words. Joshua's almost like, no, you know, you're just saying that. You're just all smoke and mirrors. And to make it in a modern day translation, here's what he's saying. The proof is in the pudding. You know, if you forsake the Lord, then here's what's going to happen. Are you forsaking the Lord today, or are you walking close to him? Are you one of those people today who's looking at God as he's like some genie in a magic lamp, and when you need him, you just rub it and he comes out? Or are you really walking daily with him and cultivating that relationship? You know, I think at times Joshua, like many other men in ministry, we will see the posers. I'll use that term. Those who sit back and say, oh, I'm a Christian, but yet their life doesn't reflect it whatsoever. And you know what? Yeah, what Joshua's saying to them, that's real easy for you to say standing here in our presence. Oh, yeah, you're going to serve the Lord. But the proof comes when you're going to have to stand alone. The proof comes when you're going to have to, when it's going to be costly for you, or walking with the Lord is going to cost you something. And he says, now, when that time comes and you make a wrong choice, you have to remember this. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he is going to do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. You know what he said? He called it like he saw it. He put it out there. And remember, he said, in the latter part of that verse, or actually verse 21, he says, and the people said to Joshua, they're answering him back, no, but we will serve the Lord. Okay. And I believe that, that Joshua would probably say to them, okay, put your money where your mouth is. Actions speak far louder than words. You know that. I know that. You know, I've said that around your kids before. You don't want to raise your kids telling them do this and you're not doing it, because your actions speak more volume to them as to what they should do. It's like, hey, look, don't say do as I say do. Be sure that you can say, listen, do as I say do, but also do as I do. I am walking with the Lord. I'm not just telling you to. I am walking with the Lord. Because let me make you this promise. Your children will see that. So will people in and around your life. They will know whether you're sincere. They will know whether your walk with the Lord is genuine. And I've said many times from the pulpit of our church, I believe one of the greatest harms to Christianity today are Christian people who are not walking in the manner in which God has called us to walk according to the Word of God. It's a tragedy. How many times have you heard people say this? If that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be that. We haven't been very good examples, but you know what? God has given us another chance. Today is a new day. Start right now. Okay? Yeah. What was Israel's final response to Joshua's challenge? That's found in verses 21 through 24. So he says, and to the people, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. We talked about what that was. Now get down to verse 23. He says, now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you. He says, I see it. I see what's going on. If you're saying you're going to serve God, then put away all the foreign gods which are among you and incline your ear to the Lord God of Israel. He said, stop. You got to stop what you're doing. Look, this is not godly. That's not godly. Here are false gods. There are false gods. If you're going to say you're going to do that, then get rid of them. Do it now. Do it today. And what did they say? Their answer was verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. You have a choice today. I offer you the same choice that Joshua offered the people of Israel. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve Satan? That's basically what it really boils down to. You know, will you be able to answer like the people of Israel? You know, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And remember this, your actions are going to speak louder than your words. You can fool me, you can fool family members, you can fool preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers, but you can never fool God, because he knows your heart. He knows what's in here. He knows what's taking place. And he knows whether you are sincere or whether you are not sincere. Okay, so what happened? What did Joshua do? In verses 25 through 28 of our passage, he sets up this large stone at Shechem. Okay, and what does he say? Let's look at it, because I just want to get down to the words that he says, just for the sake of time. Verse 25 tells us that he made a covenant with the people that day, and he made for them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. Verse 26 says, then Joshua wrote these words in the book of law of God. And he took up a large stone and he set it up under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, this is what he said, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord, which he spoke to us. And it shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. Now, let me give you that verse in the English Standard Translation. Okay, it says this. It says, and Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words the Lord that he has spoken to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. Verse 28, so Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. In other words, it's like, here's a witness. This is what I'm going to call on you. If you start to deal falsely with God, this should be a reminder. This should be a stone that is placed up here for you to remember the decision that you have made today. How many times do we do things that remind us of decisions that we have made? Hey, look, I wear a gold band on the ring finger of my left hand. That reminds me of a decision and a commitment that I made almost 30 years ago to be what everything God wanted me to be as a husband to Jana. You know, she wears one as well. This is just an idea. You know, when I look at that, that's what that says. That says to the whole world, I am married. That says Roy Carter has caught his limit, you know, off limits. Something like that. He's putting that up. He says, this needs to remind you of the covenant that you've made today, where you said, we are going to serve God. Okay. When we make important commitments to God, why is it a good idea for us to have certain spiritual markers that will help us to remember them? You know, you've heard me say that. If you've been around Central Baptist Church any amount of time, you've heard me talk about running up spiritual markers or spiritual flags. The great thing about that is that when God has done some incredible things and we run those little spiritual flags up the flagpole, or we set up those markers of remembrance, they serve to remind us that when we pause And when we begin to look back, here's where God showed up. There's where God showed up. Here's where God did a great thing. Here's where God did an impossible thing. Here's where a miracle took place. And when we can see that trail of God's faithfulness in our lives, it brings us great encouragement as we go forward on our journey. It gives us what we need to be able to stand boldly, just as Joshua did, and say, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." Now, I want you to think about a recent stand that you may have had to take for God that was not popular. You know, it wasn't part of the popular culture or popular opinion of the day. I want you to think for just a moment about that recent stand that you had to take. Now, as you consider that, now some of you may say, you're thinking too hard. Listen, if you got to think that hard, then I'm gonna curiously ask you, are you living your life in a way that people see and know that you are a Christian? Has your Christianity been challenged by an ungodly world that brings forth a popular opinion today, which is in most cases very ungodly? You know, how did you do? Did you have to take that recent stand? Did you take the stand, or did you back off of it? Did you succumb to the temptation? Did you go the other way? Okay. Now, my follow-up question to that is, how you handled that situation says a lot about your commitment to God Almighty. Did you go the wrong way? You know, that shows a lack of commitment. Did you go the right way? This shows that you settled it in your mind, that you drew that line in the sand, that you said, "As for me and as for my family, as for my household, we will serve the Lord." You know, I've said this before. I can ask that question and say, when is a recent time? Because I'll promise you, if you're living and breathing and you get out of your house that your Christianity and your godliness has been challenged. Your spiritual walk has been challenged. Even on a daily basis, no matter where you go or what you do, it gets challenged, and people are watching to see how you're going to act and react. And the Lord is watching to see how you're going to act and react. So you know what we need to do? We need to pray for each other. We need to pray that each of us will have the courage to serve the Lord even when it's unpopular, and that we will lead our families and lead our friends to do likewise. And a lot of that is done by how we do. They'll follow our example, but we also need to be bold enough to say, just like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Well, hey, Roy, why don't you come do this? Now, I can't do that. You know, that's against what the Word of God says. That's an ungodly thing. Now, people will call you a goody two shoes. They'll make fun of you. They'll call you Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual. Hey, that's okay. Last time I checked, I'm going to be with God a whole lot longer than I'm going to be with any man on the face of this planet. That's the way we need to pray. We need to pray that God's going to give us the courage to serve Him in this unpopular journey that we have to make called life until we have that opportunity to see Him again. In just a minute, I'm going to pray specifically for that, but I want to go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week's Bible readings will be the book of Judges chapter 2 through chapter 4. That's Judges chapter 2 through chapter 4 and Judges chapters 6 and 7. That'll give you your 5. So that's Judges 2 through 4 and Judges 6 and 7. And next week, we're going to discuss Gideon and his army coming from the book of Judges, chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. I want to thank you for joining us today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we thank Him and pray for one another. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we're again grateful for your word. We're grateful for great leaders like Joshua who challenge us. And Father, today we have been challenged from your word. You know, who are we going to serve? Are we going to walk in the ways of the world, or are we going to walk in the godly ways? May we truly be able to be strong like Joshua and be able to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Lord, we know that's going to be challenged on a daily basis. Give us the strength and the courage to follow you, even when we find ourselves in a minority. Lord, give us the courage to serve you, even when it's unpopular. And Lord, give us the courage to lead our families to do likewise. Lord, we thank you again for your word and the time that we've been able to gather together around it. May we grow from your word. You tell us if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it shall be opened to us. May the Holy Spirit have dealt with us individually today through the words that you've given us. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, folks. Listen, I look forward to seeing you. If you're in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we'd love to have you with us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our website, you also see it on your screen there. It's www.oakridgecbc.org. We would love to hear from you. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday if you're around here. If not, we'll gather once again around His Word by way of social media, Facebook and YouTube next Wednesday. God bless you. We love you.